Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming up, top of the hour, Gus Frerotte, former Pro Bowl quarterback in the National Football League. He's going to stop by. We're going to chat with him about all the games. Or not all the games. Six games in the National Football League. We do picks each and every week on the show. If you're new to the show, three games. One has to be an underdog. I take three. Gus takes three. We're actually dead even on the season. I had a two-game lead last week, and then I choked it up. Did a bad job. Gave it right back to him. He started talking some smack, and I thought, okay, guy is getting a little bit concerned when he's talking so much smack, and then poof, I go 1-2 last week, he goes 3-0, and we have the same record on the season. What do you think our records are, Trace? Because you're not usually here with us on a football Friday. If you had to guess, we pick three games each and every week. Just give me how many games over 500 do you think we are? Or do you even think we're over 500?
I would guess, honestly, both right around 500. So I guess since you have the same records, I would say maybe one or two over, but hovering right around that 500 mark.
15, 13, and one we both are.
So right there, no big deal. All over it.
I had 11 losses going into last
week. That's tough. And I cough up two. What was the games that cost you?
Pats, I picked against my football team.
Against?
Yeah. I don't put money down against my football team. I can't do that. But on the spread that week on the show, I thought Baltimore was going to win the game. My other pick last week that cost me, Seattle plus 1.5. That was it. It was tough to find an underdog. Last week, Gus, he goes 3-0. He had the Saints minus 9.5. He got lucky that the Bills, the Cardinals, remember that crazy ending with Kyler Murray? If they would have kicked the extra point, he would have lost. Because the Cardinals would have made that. They would have won the game by 3 points. He had the Bills plus 2.5. It was a two-point game. And then he did take, what was his last game? Oh, the Vikings minus 2.5. So if the Bears with Nick Foles, if who was it, Miller? If he caught that football, well, it was a bad throw by Nick Foles. He overthrew it. If that connected, though, he may have lost that game. So what can you do? What can you do?
So get him back this week. That's all you can do.
Well, that would be the hope. That would be the plan. Maybe he's picking up some momentum, though. I'll give you a little tease. You usually only go one underdog. You only have to take one underdog, so you take two favorites usually and an underdog. This week, I'm going two underdogs.
Ooh.
There's two dogs that I really, 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 really like. So I'm going to go with the two dogs. Try to change something up this week.
That might throw him off. I guess the smack talk last week worked for you. Maybe the double underdog can work, work in your favor.
Well, here's what I kind of realized. The weeks where I look on Monday morning, I'll pick 3-4 teams and then decide on Wednesday what 3-4 teams I go. Those are the weeks I usually do better. When I forget to do that on Monday and I'm looking on Thursday, Friday, last second to try to find the pick, and the lines change throughout the weeks. One of my picks this week, they opened up as a 7-point favorite. Now they're an 8-point favorite. So that changes by a point. Really not going to affect it for me on that pick. But the weeks where I wait to look at the spreads, that's when the weeks I traditionally don't do well. It's when I do when I go very early in the week. That's when I have success. And that's what I did this week. I identified 3-4 games on Monday. And then on Tuesday, I actually tossed out one more game. And I said, I'm going to go a little bit different and go with two dogs. So we'll get to those picks coming up later on in the program. I got to get to right now, and there's a lot of games this weekend that there's intrigue. We have our poll question for the Falcons and the Saints, where you probably would say, Falcons, Saints, not intrigue. Who cares about the Falcons this year? The Saints, you expect them to roll over the Falcons. But with that being said, there's going to be no Drew Brees in this game. He's been placed on the IR. So we all thought, or at least I thought, but I think a lot of people thought, right, Trace? I know that we disagreed a little bit. You think a lot of people are believing that James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant will work. I personally think I'm seeing a lot of people saying that it won't work, and there's been a disagreement there. Throughout this week, most people thought Jameis Winston was going to be starting under center,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
So I was under that operation and that thought process and that understanding that it was going to be Jameis Winston. And then today, surprise, surprise, hello. Well, you're going to have one Taysom Hill starting on Sunday. That's been the report from Adam Schefter and also Diana Rossini. I'm surprised by that. Now, if you follow the money here, $21 million, 2 years to Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston's making what? $1.1 million, I think it is, whatever it is. Not making a lot of money. They're going with Taysom Hill. And every time you hear the Saints talk about Taysom Hill, we love Taysom Hill. We love Taysom Hill. He's going to be the future of this team. Heck, Mike Westhoff, he used to coach special teams for them. Not my words, his words. He said Taysom Hill is like Lamar Jackson, except he throws better. And we had Zach Strief on early in the week. He thought Jameis Winston was going to start because of the way that the offense is constructed when you got to change a lot of your offense to go to Taysom Hill because of maybe some of the things that he lacks. So he thought it would be Jameis Winston. Plus, he also didn't think the Saints were going to be able to keep Jameis Winston because of the Saints salary cap problems. Now it's looking like they just really love Taysom Hill and he's going to be the starter. So this whole thing, it kind of messes with your brain a little bit because usually when you're anticipating who's going to start at the quarterback, when there is such a universal thought, it's going to be one guy and then it's the other to replace Drew Brees as he's out at least 3 weeks going on IR. I was very surprised by this. I think it's a wrong decision too. Now it could work out. The next four opponents, they are not big, tough opponents. You get the Falcons twice. You get the Broncos, and you get the Eagles as well for the Saints. So those are not tough games. I would have gone, though, with Jameis. I think right now, in the moment, spot start for a week, two, three, he's your best option. But maybe there is part of them that goes, we believe in Taysom Hill. We think Taysom Hill is the guy. So let's at least see it for the next 3-4 weeks, however many weeks Drew Brees is there. Maybe they know they're not going to be able to afford Jameis Winston when he comes on back. I would think Jameis Winston's starting somewhere in the National Football League next year. Because if you ask me, would you rather have Jameis Winston or Teddy Bridgewater? And Teddy, to me, is a above-average quarterback. I don't look at him. I know Joe Brady this week said he's a franchise guy. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater's a franchise guy. I don't think he's a guy that you have to lock yourself to being your franchise quarterback. If the Panthers somehow get a quarterback that they really love that falls them in the draft this year, maybe they take their quarterback. Now, he's under contract 2 more years, Teddy Bridgewater, but I don't look at Teddy Bridgewater, and he's done some nice things this year. And he's getting a lot out of Robbie Anderson, getting a lot out of DJ Moore, has been without McCaffrey for most of the season. Davis has done a good job. To me, he's not a top 10. I don't think his ceiling is top 10. Could he be a top 15 quarterback? Yeah, maybe he can. And that could be good enough to win if you build up that defense and you continue to surround him with weapons. But if you ask me moving forward, you'd rather have Jameis Winston or Teddy Bridgewater? I take Jameis Winston. I would. Because Jameis, not that I love Jameis. Jameis, though, 5,000 yards passing last year, 30 touchdowns. Now he threw 30 picks. And that's a big-time problem. And Teddy Bridgewater doesn't have the turnover problem. Except late in games, I will say, I've seen Teddy Bridgewater throw 2 picks. One was on that, I think it was Thursday night game against Atlanta. And there was another one, I think it was the Bears, where we were saying, all right, here he comes. I believe it was the Bears. It was a 1 p.m. game, I want to say. He was driving. You come back. Let's see if they go win the game. I think it was the first throw. Back up in his own territory, had an interception. So Jameis, the turnover problems, they've been more widespread than Teddy Bridgewater. Would you go Jameis Winston or you go Teddy Bridgewater? For the next 3 years, you need a quarterback. roster, average type of roster, you go Jameis or you go Teddy Bridgewater? Personally, I go Jameis.
I'm with you. The upside and the ceiling is so much higher for Jameis Winston. You hope he can figure out the turnovers, but I'm with you. Jameis all day.
But getting back to this decision by the Saints, it's kind of mind-boggling. See, that's a starting quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, who you would say above average, right?
Average, above average. Yeah,
average, above average. A competent quarterback?
Yes. Competent's a great word, yes.
For the Saints, he's their third-string quarterback, Jameis Winston. We'd rather have Jameis Winston than Teddy Bridgewater. This Taysom Hill thing, it's bizarre. Is there any chance that on Sunday, Jameis is the guy and that this was a smokescreen? You had to give me 100% out of 100. How much of a chance is it that Jameis Winston is on the field starting at quarterback on Sunday, even though the highly respected Adam Schefter and Diana Rossini right now say it's going to be Taysom Hill?
1%.
I think it's the same. I kind of agree with you. Because there's three ways that it's going to play out. It's either a smokescreen, they're going Jameis Winston. Taysom Hill's going to be the guy, and Jameis going to be the backup. That's the option number two. Or you see a combination of both. A platoon type of situation. I don't think you're going two quarterbacks at one time. I think it's a decision between Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. And if this came out maybe a little bit earlier in the week, I would say, maybe it's a smokescreen. Something's not right here. Sean Payton doesn't want this out. One of his players, this is how I think, right? Wouldn't you agree with this? This is how it probably got out. One of the players said something to Schefter. One of the players that are tight with Schefter, or there's someone maybe that has access to the Saints practice. You never know. It could be like an intern. It could be just a loudmouth in the league in the Saints front office. They called up Schefter and said, you want a little piece of information, Schefter? Because I like to gossip. It's going to be Taysom Hill coming up on Sunday. That's how the information got out. Because Sean Payton, if he's going with Taysom Hill, it's a major mind game because everyone's thinking, now you got to prepare for both, but everyone's thinking this was going to be Jameis Winston. And now it's not. I thought they should have gone with Jameis Winston. Either way, if they go with Jameis, that game, very intriguing, you want to watch. Now Taysom Hill, it's also intriguing too. If Drew Brees is starting quarterback, nothing against Drew. It's the expected guy from the start of the season. We know what Drew Brees is capable of. On a football Sunday, Saints-Falcons, even though those games are usually close, that doesn't have a lot of juice with the way that the Falcons are playing this year. Now it's, okay, I want to watch that game to see what Taysom Hill does as starting quarterback. So reports are that Taysom Hill will start at QB for the Saints on Sunday. Who should start at QB for the Saints? Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston? 59.3% say Jameis Winston. 40.7% say Taysom Hill. Also, make sure you keep the tweets coming. I keep on seeing them. Hashtag keep the Greek freak. Hashtag sign the Supermax. Get a lot of tweets on this. It'd be pretty cool if we get this trending. Where, yes, we're a national radio show, but if a quote-unquote small market that we're defending here in Milwaukee, that's where the tweets are going to come. That's where the majority of the tweets are going to come. So we really need our Milwaukee affiliate on 1250 The Fan, where you're listening to us right now on The Fan. We need you to keep those tweets coming. Hashtag, you want to tag me, tag me. You want to follow me. Not necessary. You should. But just make sure you tweet, hashtag keep the Greek freak, hashtag sign the Supermax. We got to keep those tweets coming over and over and over again. And let me just say one thing. Remember in Kansas City how that girl was working at the champagne store and she ended up breaking the news that Patrick Mahomes had this ridiculous extension? You remember that story there, Trace?
Of course. Can't forget it.
I'm just saying, with how I defended Milwaukee last night, then was on Milwaukee radio today on The Fan, they carry our show 3 hours of our 4 hours. They should carry all four, but whatever. It's fine. They carry 3 out of the 4 hours of our show. We've had Peter Fagan on a bunch, the president of the Bucks. If this Supermax is signed by Giannis, they should break it on our show. They should have Giannis call in and break it on our show. Because we are driving the train right now to keep Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee. That's what we're doing. Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of my favorite names of all time. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Maybe you're driving around right now. Maybe you're listening. Probably not. Maybe someone in the Bucks organization is listening. Maybe, maybe not. That's how I would creatively break the news. All right, a bare minimum. They have to bring me to Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. They got to bring me out for a game. Courtside seats, chugging beers with Bakhtiari and Aaron Rodgers. Isn't Aaron Rodgers a minority owner of the Milwaukee Bucks? I want to say he has a stake of the team. But they should have me sitting courtside with Rodgers and Bakhtiari and then do a half-court shot. One of those half-court shot challenges. And if I hit, what is it? Well, the Knicks gave... Remember the Knicks gave you lottery tickets for hitting that shot earlier this year? So let's say they give you $5,000 if you hit the shot. I donate the money to charity. I have a nice half-court shot. Do a little knee popper. Boom, swish. Be a big-time moment. But I think the Bucks, if Giannis is staying in Milwaukee, they should break it on this show. Chances that happens, Ryan Tracy, that the Bucks call you up during the break. Hey, it's Peter Fagan from the Bucks. We're going to break this news. Supermax, Giannis Antetokounmpo, good to go. We want Zach to break it on the show.
I'll say the chances of that happening are higher than Jameis Winston starting on Sunday. How about that?
Let's not get crazy. They're
How about
lower.
That?
It is a negative chance that the Bucks break the news with us. They got to send me some swag, though. They got to send us some swag. Get some customized Bucks jerseys. I think that'd be pretty cool.
What number, 99 on the back?
Why, because I'm large?
No. Well,
99, the big guy?
Doesn't the Temple, you have a Temple custom jersey, is that 99?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know what the Temple customized jersey is.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was 99, so that's why I threw 99 out
they
there.
Did, like Temple a, did send me a jersey. It may be 99, it may be 90, I don't know what it is.
Zero. I'm just, there's generic.
Zero. Come
there's
on,
zero, there's one, there's 99. Those are usually the generic numbers sent out to if they send a personalized jersey to a celebrity.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I'm just trying to wrap
you're probably,
my brain.
I wouldn't call myself a celebrity, though. Let's not get carried away here.
Within the Temple community, not a celeb?
Oh, I'm a Temple celeb. Yeah, that is fair.
Okay, you got some swag. Maybe if the Bucks give you a jersey, then you could be.
What Bucks number would I want? That's a great question.
69?
What are you, Gronk? Ooh, support joke 69. Come on, we're a professional radio show here. When I played high school football, one year I wore, I think, 98. Then another year I was 90. When I played offensive line, I was 70, I think 70 straight up. So, you know what? I go 21. That would be the number I want. You know why? 21 for not only Giannis Antetokounmpo. That would be, I know that would be, he still has one more year left on the deal, but that would be the transition from 2020 to 2021, the year that he announces he's staying in Milwaukee, but then the quest to win a championship in the year of 2021. That's what I would go for. 21 Gelb. Hey, you know what? Screw it. 99 is probably better. Not, you're right. 99, big guy. 99, 98. Those are the numbers I would go with. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. What were we supposed to talk about this segment? Oh, yeah, we were supposed to talk about Lamar Jackson? Yeah, Lamar Jackson and the Tennessee Titans. That's a big game this weekend. Ravens and Tennessee, how the mighty have fallen. We'll discuss it next.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I just got a tweet from someone named John Hall. At J. Hall Morgan. It says, apparently can't send you a DM. Would love to pick your brain about getting into sports talk. Thanks for the entertainment. Looking forward to hearing from you. I have no problem reaching out and talking to people about the business. I will get back and we'll communicate with John. I will slide into his DMs. Twitter DMs, though. Are you a fan of keeping those open? Or do you keep them closed? Because I don't allow people to DM me. If they follow me and I want to reach out to you, that's one thing. If you want to reach out to me, just mention me. And the only reason I say this, I don't want to sound like a pompous jerk because I'm not. Twitter, a lot of nasty things are said, right, Trace?
Yeah, Twitter, you don't go there to hear nice things about yourself.
So if I keep my DMs open, imagine how many nasty things are said publicly to you. Imagine then how many nasty DMs would be sent to you if you keep your DMs open. That's why whenever you're someone of serious clout, we're talking A-lister, you know, P1, like major celebrity. I don't get how some of those people keep their DMs open. Because then you get down a rabbit hole of checking them probably a lot. You may not respond. You never know, though, one night late. Yeah, I'm kind of in a fiery mood, and then you send something that you end up regretting. I can't tell you, though, this is the one that I always find funny. A few months back, I had a take about Big Ben and was trashing him for how he handled the entire situation of they lost their bye week and all the complaining. And I had enough of just all Steelers fans that week complaining about the Tennessee Titans situation and how they're getting screwed over here. For a franchise that is a proud franchise with 6 Super Bowl rings, you would not have thought there was that much complaining coming from that fan base, but there was a lot coming from that fan base. So I kind of went off on Ben, and it blew up. I was like a Reddit stream for 3 days in Pittsburgh, and not a lot of nice things were being said to me. Since my DMs aren't open on Twitter, a lot of people were using Instagram where you could DM someone, even if you're not following them, because those I have open. Because I treat Twitter differently than Instagram and Facebook. Facebook I kind of keep private. But I will get from time to time when we have a take like that go viral in a good way or a bad way, people will slide into your Facebook messages and they will just eviscerate you. I had one guy who was 75 years old probably, and he had the worst mouth I think I've ever encountered and was just going off on me because I told Ben to just quit his bitching. So that was pretty much that. So Twitter, is your Twitter DMs open? Or are they open there, Ryan Tracicki?
I assume they were. I thought you had to turn them off. I just checked. I guess they're not. You have to turn them on, which actually kind of surprised me.
Now, hold on. This guy, John Hall Morgan, he just tweeted me back a gift of some kid putting his head down. I'm not trashing John. I'm going to get back to him. I just don't trust people to keep my Twitter DMs open because Twitter is the biggest cesspool. I say it's a cesspool all the time. Let me check your Twitter. What's your Twitter again? Ryan_Hickey3?
Yeah, but you follow me, so it's different.
Oh, that is true.
Well, I just checked, so you have to
I'm going to unfollow you real quickly.
Like, you have to check and say, allow everyone to message you.
Gotcha. I'm going to unfollow you
for a second. Okay, you shouldn't be able to.
But then you're still following me?
Yeah.
So will that affect? Probably not. If I unfollow you, your DMs are still open. I could still get into your DMs.
I think because I follow you.
Oh, is that why?
I'm looking at it right now. So you have to allow message requests from everybody. You have to check that on. Mm-hmm. So I don't have it checked.
Okay, gotcha.
Which I didn't. I thought that was just assume. Like it's on until you turn it off. I guess it's off until you turn it on.
Yeah, I would assume it's that way. It's off until you turn it on. That's what I would have thought. So I think it's crazy though. Crazy if you keep your DMs open on Twitter. Twitter is nasty. Now it also could be rewarding and fun. For example, hashtag keep the Greek freak. Hashtag, what was the other thing? Sign the Supermax. I created it. I'm starting to forget it. That's how you know I'm starting to get hungry at 8:28 p.m. Eastern on a Friday. I'm starting to think about my meal. Those kind of moments can be fun, but a lot of times, as we'll talk to Crystal Presti probably about it in a bit. Yeah, actually, Sila, do you keep your Twitter DMs open? Can anyone slide into your Twitter DMs?
No. And it's not by design, but I've had people say, hey, follow me so I can DM you. I probably should change that.
Wait, so you would just want it to be open? Anyone could go into your DMs?
I don't know about want it to, but I don't like to... Because
you have a big following. You have a big following.
I have a decent following.
Yeah, like 20,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's a big following. It's not humongous, but it's a decent size following.
I've built it up over time. Covering the Jets for a while certainly helped.
Yeah, that's true.
Working at WFAN here in New York certainly helped.
So for you, when you're at the Shore House that you have, and you're just
not
sitting
my Shore House, but
okay,
yes.
Fine. But you're sitting on the balcony enjoying your life. You'll post a picture, and it's a very peaceful scene. And then some jackass will have some comment. Oh, you shouldn't be down there. You should be in the studio. Or, you know, what kind of house is that? It looks like a piece of crap. It would be something that it looks perfectly fine, and the Shore House looks unbelievable. It's a great view, but there's always someone that has a problem.
Sure.
So I always think if that's being said publicly, imagine then what people say privately if you keep those DMs open. That's why I don't keep my Twitter DMs open. If you want to get to me privately, Or in my DMs, then you just go to Instagram or you message me on Facebook because I don't control
that. It's a fair point. I think, I mean, mine aren't open, so the only time people reach out is when they want something, mm-hmm. right? They want to ask a question. Hey, can you come on my podcast? Can you do this? Can you do that? Which is fine.
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't mind having them open, and if somebody takes that approach, then you just block them.
You ignore
them. You ignore them or you block them, right? You don't waste your time on stuff
like that.
See,
I'm not
like
a big blocker on Twitter.
I'm not either. I'm really not.
Because then I always fear that people are going to screenshot, oh, he blocked me, and
right.
then something,
that's
then
true.
You look weak.
But like if I've had people that have complained about whatever, something when I was covering the Jets or something I might have said on the Fan or disagreed, I like to engage in a debate and a back and forth.
Sure.
And keep it professional. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people cross a line and then you just kind of, you know. You
keep
say,
it
yeah,
professional,
yeah.
not the slogan of Twitter.
No. I mean, for my purposes.
Yes, yes,
of course.
Yes.
There are many unprofessional folks out there, and they're usually the ones that have the egghead picture and, you know, one follower.
Yeah.
That's just the way
it goes.
I always
wonder what those people are like.
If they're even people at all, who knows?
That's a good point, but I kind of want to take a camera and just follow them and film their life for a day and see.
That would be a good reality show.
And kind of just see what Eggface 12345 to the ninth power on Twitter does.
A day in the life of a Twitter troll.
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
Yeah,
maybe we could send you on the beat there.
Sure.
Well, right now, I don't know if we tried to pitch this to Chernoff, he'd go, I'm not sending CeeLo anywhere during a pandemic. What are you,
listen,
crazy?
I'm available, but I'll leave it at that.
Real quickly, I want to get into Titans and Ravens. This game, it's huge for both teams. Now, for Tennessee, they're on the outside looking in right now from a playoff spot, and the Ravens are in the seventh seed right now. Tennessee's defense has been horrible. And can't get off the field on third down. Even when they're going up against offensive linemen that are off, or teams that have three or four offensive linemen missing, they can't even find a way to put the quarterback on their butt. Special teams, brutal. Punting, field goal kicking, Gostkowski has been awful. So that puts a lot of pressure on the offense, where if the offense doesn't play an elite performance, they got no shot. And even if they do, defense and special teams can mess it up. So I look at this game, and I do like Vrabel as a coach. I think the Ravens win. I do. And the Ravens right now, it's not pretty for them as well. Because that offensive line, they're missing Marshall Yanda, who retired. Ronnie Stanley is now done for the season. They don't have elite wide receivers. They don't have very good wide receivers. The best wide receiver is Marquise Hollywood Brown. Nice player, nothing special. Good speed. And you look at Lamar Jackson, I think the expectations were so high coming off the MVP year. And Lamar Jackson had an incredible season last year. However, when you have an incredible season and then it ends, even though he's a very young player, in the postseason in the fashion that he did, now you get in that category, kind of like Giannis, where it's championship or bust. And now he's struggling, and he goes from great quarterback last year, elite quarterback, to now people are wondering if he's a franchise quarterback. I still think Lamar Jackson is a very good quarterback, but it shows you why when we anoint people great quarterbacks so quickly right away, that it's the wrong approach. And I get it. We live in this world. One game, you're great. The next game, you have a bad game. You're awful. You can't play in this league. And partially, it's probably our fault, too, because we do that all the time on the radio. But I got to see probably 3 years, unless if it's a Mahomes level, 3 years of just tremendous play for me to say, yeah, that guy's definitely a great quarterback. And there's not a lot of great quarterbacks in this league. There's also some very good quarterbacks, but there's a difference between very good and great. This week, you look at the Ravens coming off that loss to the Patriots where, let's be real, they should have beat the Patriots going into that game. They should have. And then Belichick, he just did an incredible job in that game. And Cam, they got that offense going. But this is one of those games where, yes, the opponent, Tennessee's a better team than the Patriots this year. So you're going to step up in competition. I know that for both these teams, you're going to say, oh, they can't lose, they can't lose, they can't lose. I think this game, there's a lot more pressure on the Ravens. I really do. Because Tennessee, there were some questions going into this year about Tennessee. They got to the championship game last year. They're going to fall off. I didn't even think they were going to make the playoffs this year, Tennessee, going into the season. And now you look at this Baltimore team. Both teams desperately need a win, but Baltimore is supposed to be a top two team, a Super Bowl contender. And I think there's only two Super Bowl contenders right now in the AFC. It's the Steelers, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Ravens, Lamar Jackson, most pressures on him. I think there's pressure on both teams, but more pressure, if you had to make me pick one, is on the Baltimore Ravens. And I can't wait to see if Lamar Jackson shows up and maybe shuts some people up. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll do a news brief next.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you, so what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. There's not going to be a lot of crazy you would anticipate breaking news in this NBA free agency cycle. The big domino is still to fall. Fred VanVleet, I guess, is the one free agent that I'm really curious to see. Davis Bertans as well. But most of this stuff is going to be supermax or not, and extensions, and then also the trade market. And the two big names in the trade market, it's James Harden and Russell Westbrook, and we're kind of on pause there. I did see that De'Aaron Fox signed a max extension, 5 years, $163 million with the Kings. There was some trade interest on him, but then they agreed to the max extension. Clearly, we're waiting to see what Giannis Antetokounmpo will do. Sign the Supermax, Yonix. Make sure you do that. Sign the Supermax. Hashtag it. Well, maybe I should say it the correct way. See, I'm leading this campaign, and I keep on butchering this. This is a problem right now. It's the blind leading the blind. That's what I've learned so far. Hashtag sign the Supermax. Hashtag keep the Greek freak. Get it going. We actually got some good play on this so far on Twitter, as we want to see Giannis Antetokounmpo stay with the Bucks. So that's something that we're monitoring. Then I did see that Danilo Gallinari, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, he's finalizing a 3-year, $61.5 million contract. He's going to the Atlanta Hawks. Atlanta Hawks, that's a team I'm going to have a lot of fun watching this year with Trae Young. Then you also got Collins, too. He's a good player, someone that I like. And I'm just going to be fascinated to see what that team does if they could take that next step. And, you know, you look at the draft and you saw what the Atlanta Hawks did this year in the draft. They had an early draft pick and they ended up taking, who they end up taking? What are they, like 5 or 6 overall? I forget exactly who they took. Let's see right here real quickly. Oh, yeah. They took Okongwu, the big man from USC, right at number 6. So it seems like it's going to be a good draft pick. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, yeah, it's definitely going to work. It's definitely going to work. But there were a lot of positive things said about him, and there's a lot of upside. That's what I kind of feel like with all these draft picks. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of upside this year. That's what you hear on this draft. Now, here's the one that I find very comical. So Dwight Howard tweeted that he was staying with the Los Angeles Lakers. And then there was this tweet that came out 12 minutes ago that, and from Shams Charania, that Dwight Howard has agreed to a 1-year deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, Dwight won that championship with L.A. What team has Dwight Howard not played for? That may start being easier to figure out. Because when he was with the Magic, he got to a finals, too, which was impressive. And then ever since then, it's team to team to team to team. And you look at the Sixers, I don't think that's a fit. I don't. Now, you're going to need some guy to give minutes to down low. Him and Embiid on the same team. For Dwight Howard, his personality, I don't think, meshes with Philadelphia. I don't. I just don't think they mesh. And if he gets off to a little bit of a slow start, not that he's going to be a big-time player for them. He's a role player now. Well, I would say that the fans are going to get on him. Probably not going to be any fans in Philadelphia this year, so maybe not. So this is kind of a pedestrian free agency, and we're waiting on these trades and the Supermax as well with Giannis Antetokounmpo. You think James Harden or Russell Westbrook? When do you think that trade is going to go down? Now, I was reading earlier this week that the Rockets are in no rush and they're okay with things getting uncomfortable. I think you got to make a deal before the season on both of them. If I'm the Rockets, I would trade both of them before the start of the season. Yes, you don't want to get robbed. You don't want to not get the proper value back. Both of these guys, through sources and through the media, have made it pretty clear they don't want to stay there. So I still believe that Harden's going to wind up with the Nets. That's my prediction. For Russell Westbrook, I have no clue. You hear some bizarre trade rumor each and every day. One was a few days ago, Washington for the John Wall trade. That made no sense. It makes no sense. If you're the Rockets, why do you want John Wall? I wouldn't want John Wall at this stage of his career. I would like to see Westbrook go to a contender, though. He goes to Washington. Boring. Nothing. But is a championship contender going to bring him in? Because that's a huge move. That's a huge move. And the big question on, and the big thought process on Harden and Westbrook, the reason why there's so much concern about them, because they're both really damn good players, obviously. But we're in this league right now where it's dynamic duos, and we're trying to see who's going to form that next big three. And that's why if Harden goes to the Nets, boom, it's a big three. For Westbrook, I have no feel. You know what? If I had to guess, and I saw that Bobby Marks was saying on ESPN that if you're the Rockets, he was running the Rockets, he would prefer to deal Westbrook first, then Harden. If I am the Rockets and just thinking about how this is going to play out, I kind of feel as if Harden's going to get dealt before Westbrook. Because at least with Harden, you're hearing about the Nets and people believe that's going to happen. Have you heard any rumor, Trace, for Russell Westbrook that even makes remotely sense yet?
Outside of the head-scratching one, like you said, John Wall for Westbrook, I haven't heard any names, any buzz at all for him.
Yeah, this is we'll see what ends up happening. We're kind of in that wait-and-see period. And everything can become official on Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern. That's when you're allowed, this is the legal tampering period. See, that's why the tampering stuff in the NBA is so stupid. You have a legal tampering period. But Bogdanovich was talking to the Bucks, and they almost had that sign and trade, and now that thing's blown up, you would think. And, oh, yeah, it's such a big deal. Ridiculous. Yeah, but the NBA could be very ridiculous when it comes to their offseason. The offseason, even this year, not an exciting offseason. The offseason in the NBA has so much more juice than any regular season game in the NBA. That's why they're trying to play this up big in that 7-10. 7 through 10 for the playing games and all that. Because they're trying to give you a reason late in the season if you're a 9 or a 10 seed to keep on making that push and keep on going for it and having some hope. And even though I wasn't a big fan of it, proponent of it, it did kind of work. This year, you know, I know in the Eastern Conference, that didn't end up happening. But in the West, we were rooting for the Suns. And I know the Suns didn't get into the 8-9 playing game. Portland was a real fun story. There was intrigue with Ja Morant. So that's why they're doing it. So you don't feel as if you're ever out of it, even when you're not a good team. All right, let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Big night for the Seahawks defense. Pete Carroll now liking what he's seeing from his defense. Let's hear from Coach Carroll.
The defense did a really nice job tonight. Gave up 50-something yards rushing and kept him under wraps. You know, saved the penalties. We really would have had a really big night tonight on defense.
I did a nice job up against DeAndre Hopkins, held him out of the end zone. DeAndre Hopkins only had 51 yards in the game. And for the Seahawks, even though a lot of people will question the play calling of the Cardinals down the stretch and going for it, and some of the mistakes of the offensive line and Kyler Murray late in that game, if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, you're saying, oh, wow, Carlos Dunlap made a big play. Oh, wow, the reason they held us was because our defense was coming and it forced the safety. So you got to give them credit for that, and we'll see if they can build some momentum. But last week, Seattle, they only allowed 7 points in the second half against the Rams, and you back it up with this effort on Thursday Night Football. That's what you got to keep on getting out of this defense. I don't know if they keep on getting this out of this defense. You don't need to be great. You just got to know when to make a timely stop, and they were able to do that last night. So where you are at the bottom, it's a step in the right direction. We'll see how many more steps you can take. Kyler Murray says the Cardinals beat themselves on Thursday night.
Self-inflicted penalties. Just really shooting ourselves in the foot. I mean, it wasn't a clean game by any means. Easier said than done to play those, but that's just got to be better.
I question the play calling at the end. You don't have to go for it all in one play to Isabella, and then also Larry Fitzgerald, too. It was working. They hit Fitz on that final drive twice for 10 yards. Boom, boom, first down. Keep on doing that stuff instead of going for 25 yards. It didn't make sense. And they did beat themselves. Because Kyler Murray had that bad throw that was intentional grounding when he's pinned up right on his own end zone. And then his offensive line, they did take the penalty that resulted in the safety. So they were close, but it shows you they're a good team. They got a ways to go from being a great team. Carlos Dunlap made the game-winning sack. He compares playing Kyler Murray to chasing squirrels.
You know, they gave us the opportunity to keep him running around. And you know, I like my odds. I'll chase after a squirrel all day.
Do you think if Kyler Murray hears that, he's offended by that? Because squirrel, little guy, all of that. I think that's more of a credit. Yeah, it's poking fun at his size, but I think it's more of a credit to his speed. I'm not an expert in chasing squirrels. Maybe you are.
I am not either, but I would take that. Maybe it's not as a compliment, but it's just, right, small, shifty, tough to kind of corral. Not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
If there I called worse you, comparisons.
If I said working with you is like chasing a squirrel.
Well, I would
different context.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, different context.
If you're a football player,
yeah,
I guess
I'd
take it
fine.
As you know, I'm fast. I'll take it.
I think it's fine. You never know with players. We're going to use this as bulletin board material, like the Chiefs this week. Oh, the Raiders took a victory lap last time with the bus driver. Bulletin board material. What a reach. Yeah, I think I was reaching there a little bit. Not a big deal. Next up, finally, Sean Payton refutes any report that says Taysom Hill is the starting quarterback on Sunday.
I haven't announced that either one of those two are starting.
So that was just leaked by someone else, I guess, today?
I didn't see today or what you're talking about.
Yes, you did.
Oh, it was just
what a
headline
liar.
On ESPN that Taysom was going to start.
Well, that's news
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, I didn't see that. And again, you know, we've had a good week of preparation, and we're looking forward to the game.
So just to clarify, so no one has been named a starter?
Yeah, listen, someone has been named the starter, but
we're just not telling you.
We haven't announced it.
Mind games. He's so annoyed that this got leaked, that Taysom Hill's going to be the starting quarterback. Now, here's the question. Since it was leaked and Taysom is the starting quarterback, would Sean Payton just want to play mind games with people and then go to Jameis Winston? I don't think that's going to be the case now, I believe, because of the reporting, that it's going to be Taysom Hill. Reports are that Taysom Hill will start at QB for the Saints on Sunday. Who should start at QB for the Saints? That's our poll question today at CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb. Jameis Winston, 59.4%. Taysom Hill, 40.6%. And I do believe Jameis Winston should start, but it looks like it's going to be Taysom Hill. Hashtag keep the Greek freak. Hashtag sign the Supermax. Let's get it going on Twitter. Gus Frerotte joins us next. I got to step up. NFL picks. Hike. Next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.